1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The father of a 20-year-old shot and killed in a friend's car that turned into the wrong driveway in New York State is speaking out. Andrew Gillis says his daughter, Kaylin, deserves to have her story told.
If anything I'm thankful for is that I got to tell her that I love her before she walked out the door.
The 65-year-old homeowner, Kevin Monahan, now charged with second-degree murder. Kansas City man charged with shooting 16-year-old Ralph Jarl has entered a not guilty plea to those charges. Black teenager mistakenly knocked on Andrew Lester's door looking for his brothers. Manhattan District Attorney's Office will investigate the collapse of a New York City parking garage that killed one person.
We've learned investigators are focusing on the age of this near-century-old building, and there's also questions about the weight on the roof. There were 50 cars on the top floor when the structure collapsed.
ABC's Trevor Ault. Officials say a stampede in Yemen's capital has killed at least 78 people. Happened at an event to distribute financial aid. This is ABC News. Emergency managers in Minnesota warning residents that rain and rapid snow melt in the Red River Valley in the next week could raise the flood threat. State and local officials stockpiling sandbags, building dikes, closing low-lying roads, and putting in place action plans. Production is set to resume on a controversial movie.
Rust will start filming again on Thursday. That, according to a press release, work resuming about a year and a half after cinematographer Helena Hutchins was shot and killed by a gun in star and producer Alec Baldwin's hand, a gun that wasn't supposed to be loaded. We're told the set won't have any working weapons or ammunition in any form. Baldwin is expected on set. He and Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed have both been charged with involuntary manslaughter in the death of Hutchins. Both have pleaded not guilty. A two-week Jason Athens and ABC News.
The Vatican has inaugurated a new arts and crafts Academy inside St. Peter's Basilica. It revives a centuries-old apprentice system that trained stonemasters, carpenters, and artisans to care for the church's treasures. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin is one step closer to faster testing of sexual assault kits. A bill that passed the state assembly yesterday requires the state crime lab start processing kits within 5 days of getting them and take no longer than 2 months to complete the work. The timeline would apply in cases where the perpetrator is unknown and to suspicious death investigations. Faster testing for sexual assault kits has been a priority since a backlog of thousands of untested kits were found in 2014. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson told Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Tuesday he should resign over the situation at the U.S.-Mexican border. Mayorkas said America's immigration and asylum systems are broken, and he's hopeful Congress will do something to fix them. The exchange came during a hearing on the Department of Homeland Security's budget request. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin. Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
Download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm going to tell you, I've gotten a lot of email on the Fox settlement, and a lot of people seem to agree with me. If I were Dominion, I think I would have taken this to the end. I would have wanted to, because I know $787 million, lots of money. I get that. But wow, you kind of had them on the ropes, I thought. But here to share some thoughts on the Fox ordeal and this whole idea of the election denial crowd and all the craziness that the F channel has been spewing. I've asked our good friend Greg Palast to come share some thoughts with us. Greg is a New York Times bestselling author and the director of Vigilante, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to be with you again, Rick.
And I hope folks will check out your website, gregpalast.com. We'll get links out on social media. But what do you think? What do you think of the decision to settle as they were about to begin? The jury was selected. I was excited there was going to be some more craziness. What do you think about the decision to scrap it?
Thank God. I'm sorry, Rick. You know, they don't call it law school. They call it law school, not justice school.
I know.
Before I was an investigative reporter, I did a lot of litigation for Justice Department, et cetera. I was an investigator, and I spent a lot of time in courtrooms. I even went to Obama's law school. And I can tell you right now, actually, it was not an easy case for Dominion to win because they'd have to show that these guys actually knew that they were telling lies, and they would. And the judge already ruled there'd be lies. The question is, how do you get $787 million? That is $750 million. That's more than the whole company's worth.
Yeah.
And so they got as much as they could get. But the other thing is, here's my big problem, Rick, is that we have something called the First Amendment. And imagine this going to the Supreme Court. Have you seen those guys? It was very close. They were considering changing the black robes to white robes, hooded, but they just decided, the PR people said no. But all they needed was an excuse to say, yep, Fox has to be, we'll control Fox. That means we're going to take a big bite out of the First Amendment. And the next operator that would be sued would be the Rick Smith Show. We have to be very careful. I'm glad it would have, bad cases make bad law, but they're not over with. Remember, there's a lot more suits coming up. Smartmatic is the other company that they slandered, libeled all over the place. And that one they knew. That's not an easy case for Smartmatic either, but that's the company that was originally founded in Venezuela. And so what they decided, Fox News, Lou Dobbs, and then it was later picked up by Barty Romo and the rest of the gangsters, saying that Hugo Chavez fixed the election to defeat Donald Trump, which has some problems. If you go to gregpalast.com, you'll see a story called Hens in the Fox House about this whole con. And I hope you'll get there and read it, because then you get some real details about what's going on. So, number one, here's the problem with the foxhole, the foxholes talking about Hugo Chavez fixing election. Hugo, who, by the way, was an old friend of mine, has passed away, been gone
dead
for
5 years.
At least close to 10.
Six.
Okay, shoot me. No, don't. I got to be careful on the air. The Fox guys are listening, and I don't want them to think that was an authorization. Yeah, so Hugo's been gone for a long time. Second, the Smartmatic is not Dominion. Somehow they stuck the two together. They said, because Smartmatic, just so you know, doesn't operate in the United States. It has one single place in the U.S. Here in Los Angeles, where I'm at, we use the Smartmatic machines, which are fantastic, by the way. The Smartmatic machines, and that's the other thing, Smartmatic can't fix anything, even here in L.A., because their system is quite brilliant. It does not tabulate your vote, their computers. You have a little pad, literally a Microsoft tablet. You pick out your candidates, and then it prints the ballot perfectly. You look at it, and you say, yeah, that's my choices, and you stick that in a scanner, and you stick the ballot in a lockbox. If anyone questions the vote, you can crack it open. This is a paper-verifiable system. There is no tabulation of your vote on their touch screen. It doesn't even happen. But they have nothing to do with Dominion. So Fox just somehow brought Hugo Chavez back from the dead and threw a company that only operates in Los Angeles, had him fixing the election in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. So in other words, as I say in the article, Fox facts are not facts.
Right.
But in that case, so Smartmatic is now sued for $2.7 billion. And so there'll be another bite. So someone else will be swimming in the foxhole.
Yeah. And look, I also see that there are a bunch of shareholders who are looking at suing them as well. So
you think
there's a lot of suits on their horizon, but still they still get some $2 billion a year in carriage fees from all the cable operators. So, I think they're going to be OK. And I think that's part of why they settled.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is couch. I'm shocked that Murdoch let it go to this point, exposing their internal emails, et cetera. They should have. They were crazy not to just pay $1 billion to Dominion in the first place. But that's their strategy. You're asking me, why is Fox irrational? it's Fox. So, but what I want, the point of the article, by the way, if you go to gregpalace.com, the point of the article is about this stuff, that there's some guy in a cave,
right,
who can play with the software and flip your votes. So, it is crazy town, but unfortunately, and we just got to face this, Rick, this idea first came out of the left.
Now, the black box people, sure.
The black box people. Now, I got to tell you that when I first, for those who followed me, read The Best Democracy Money Can Buy or seen the film, I was a reporter for The Guardian, BBC, Rolling Stone, and for 20 years, I've written 500,000 words on vote suppression and manipulation, theft of elections, theft of the vote. I got to be careful about using those words. They could pull you off of Facebook with that stuff. But it happens. But it doesn't happen because Lex Luthor is in some cave with some strange buzzer that can flip your vote from Biden to Trump or Hillary to Trump. Or Trump to Hillary, whatever. That's not how it works. That's the Hollywood version. Yes, elections are stolen. And I got to tell you, you'll get some examples. I've been on this vote beat for a long time. But there are a lot of people in the progressive movement who really went after this whole idea that someone's flipping your vote. Now, the problem with that, and I always warned my fellow progressives who were peddling this thing, I said, if you keep saying that someone in a cave, someone could jack the software and flip your vote, the right wing is going to pick it up. And sure enough,
yeah,
Donald Trump, Rudy, the red-nosed degenerate, picked it up, Marjorie Taylor Greene. So now we've got the embarrassment that we started something that is now being mirrored by Marjorie Taylor Greene. So we got to get off this on left. We got to say enough now. And in all fairness to some of my friends who did have this view, is that when computerized voting started, touchscreen voting, it was pretty dodgy. In fact, until recently, where you are in Pennsylvania, you had nothing but what was called push and pray voting. That is, you had a touch screen, you picked your candidate, you punched the touch screen, and you prayed that someone would count it.
Right.
At, you know, so it was pretty questionable.
No, I was questioning it at the time as well. I remember
this. Oh, no, you have to. And that's why we had to change it. That had to change.
And I remember the argument, Greg. The argument back then was, I go to the ATM machine, they give me a receipt. Why would my vote, don't I get a receipt? Why can't I see what? And fortunately, now we do have those machines.
Yeah, that's why I say the best being the Smartmatic, the Chavez machine. And it would have been a good idea for Chavez to run our elections because they'd be clean and fair. But one thing we have to be careful of, a lot of people think, they say the gold standard is paper ballots. No, that's the fool's gold standard, because we've had jacked elections since right after George Washington. John Quincy Adams, lost the popular vote, lost the Electoral College, but he was able to make himself president. Because he wrote to James Madison, there's nothing more dangerous. The worst political system in the world is a democracy. So that's why we don't have the right to vote in the Constitution. So we have to fight for that right to vote. That's still our democratic deficit. And paper ballots have been the bane of democracy. So for example, in Florida in 2000, and a lot of people thought that was jacked by computers. No. Most of it was paper ballots. Yeah. But what happened is that I uncovered when I was with The Guardian that over 90,000 voters were scrubbed from the voter rolls by Jeb Bush, whose brother, his brother George Bush was running for president. They scrubbed 90,000 people from the voter rolls, most of them black. I'm not guessing because I got a hold of the list. And they say BLA next to the names of the people removed, BLA, because in Florida they keep track of your race on the registration cards. They removed 90,000 people, most of them black. And George Bush was elected president of the United States by winning Florida by just 537 votes. Not 537 electoral votes, 537 votes in Florida after removing tens of thousands of black men. Now, if they were criminals, if they were, fathers, rapers, and mother stabbers, they should not be allowed to vote. But not one, Rick. I went through it with the Attorney General of the state. Not a single one was an illegal voter. Their only crime is voting while black. That's what happened. And it's not about the computers or anything, because they never got to vote. Right. In fact, if you read my books, what you learn is the way elections are jacked with usually, mainly, is by stopping people, especially people of color, voting in the first place. The massive purge in Georgia. Why is Brian Kemp governor? Because in 2018, he removed, are you ready, 340,134 voters. I have the names and addresses of each one. That we had our experts go through the list for Salon and Al Jazeera, right? No American newspaper would touch the issue. 340,000 people we by name and address that we had that were illegally removed from the voter rolls of Georgia, including Martin Luther King's 94-year-old cousin. She was going to vote for her 50th year. It was going to be the 50th anniversary of her first vote. And she was I was there with her when she was thrown out of a polling station. Her granddaughter, hysterical in tears. That's what happens. And by the way, it's no coinkydink that the people in tears are African American, Asian American, Hispanic American, and by the way, the latest targets are student Americans. So, this is how it's done.
You're right. You know, 2000, you kicked people off for voting while black in Florida. 2004, you had the caging stuff going on. 2012 was voter ID. You know, all of this stuff, they know how to keep people off the rolls. But you still need the boogeyman, Greg. You still need to get the people riled up to think there's something nefarious going on to justify all of this stuff. And I think this is where the F channel played into this.
Well, let me tell you. Here's the other thing. I can show you. I just told you 340,134 people illegally removed in Georgia. And I have their names and addresses. So, but they can't deny. They just can cover it up. And they can get the mainstream press in the U.S. to cover it up. I was able to blast it in because I was able to work with the ACLU and others, so we were kind of able to sneak it into the U.S. press. But you know, you can't prove, oh, they flipped a switch. Hugo Chavez came back from the dead and switched my vote. Well, I can't. How can I prove it? I can't disprove it. So that's how they're selling it, because they can't believe that most Americans were sick of Agent Orange. But I got to tell you, that doesn't mean Americans. And here's the big danger now. Here's a big danger. And remember, I told you if I talk about vote theft, you could get pulled off Facebook. I'm very worried. I've had YouTube's taken down because I used the word stolen election. I'm now using it. You're in trouble. Because the computers start listen for these code words. Here's the problem, is that when people like Greg Palast, an investigative reporter with the Rolling Stone or the Guardian, when I'm doing these reports, say that this election was stolen. We use the term vote suppression. What we mean is shafting people out of their votes. And if you ever notice with the New York Times and the Washington Post, they've done many stories on vote suppression, which is the polite term for screwing black people out of their votes. But they will never, ever, ever, ever say that an election was fixed by it. So they'll say, oh, there's long lines, IDs, they're shutting the drop boxes, all this stuff. They're purging black people wrongly from the voter rolls. They're blocking people from voting. But they will never say, oh, that flipped an election, ever. Have you ever seen the New York Times say?
No, I've never seen anybody say flipped. That, but you, Greg.
Not, right, but me. So what happens is, I'm now saying, forget all this computerized flipping the vote stuff. There was a reason, a decade ago especially, and in Pennsylvania was the last holdout with the push and pray. So if you're in Pennsylvania, yeah, there were real questions because you don't know. But now we got to get off that. And here's the thing. And I hate to say it, it's white folk like you and me who are talking about the push button, the machines. Black people sure as heck know. When I go to those AME churches, they know why they're losing their vote. They know that they're being purged. They're being blocked from voting. Their registrations are challenged. And I had that film Vigilante, in which, like in Georgia, we had one guy, one woman, a vice chair of the Republican Party, who personally challenged 32,000 voters, 32,000 voters in Georgia. Because of my expose, those voters got their votes back. And that's the only reason, by the way, that Reverend Warnock won, is that there was a quarter million voters, almost all the black, were challenged by GOP operatives. And we were able to get them back. And there was no story. We just couldn't get that into the press in the U.S. if we took hostages, except in the black press and in the Hispanic press and Asian American. They're really going after the Korean American vote. And this is a big problem. They were using systems like interstate cross-check. They're saying, oh, these people are voting twice. Do you realize that there's a David Kim in Atlanta voting? And David Kim also voted in Kansas? That must be the same David Kim. Well, look in the phone book. How many David Kims?
I always love when people project, and my right-leaning friends love to say how the elections are stolen, but you look at what they're doing, and they're the ones who are actually stealing elections. And I'll say that because YouTube will probably kick us off. The reality is, so the question then becomes, you know, how do you get that out? How do we get people to realize that there is vote theft happening, but it's happening well before election day, that this stuff is going on right under our noses. It's just being legislative, and they're doing it. Look, I give Republicans credit. They're doing it in the light of day, but using this justification. Well, there's this nefarious character out there. We have to do this, block all these people for the integrity.
And the Democrats just sit there for the most part, sitting on their hands. I'll never forget that I met with the guy, with the chairman of the Democratic Party, a guy named Terry McAuliffe, just before the 2004 election. And I said, Mr. McAuliffe, what are you going to do about the massive attack on black voters in 2004? He wasn't worried. Kerry had it locked. You know, anyone could have beat George Bush. And he said, well, we have teams of lawyers out on election day. I said, they're purging hundreds of thousands of African Americans. They're not even showing up. They can't even go to the polls.
Yeah, well, it's too late.
So the Democratic, don't count the Democratic Party to help you out, because they're not going to do it. And don't forget, all party leaders are elected by the electorate we have. They don't want, you know, the minute you start allowing working people, poor people, students to vote, you're going to have a very different Democratic Party. you're not going to have Terry McAuliffe's running the party.
But if that were really true.
Yeah, and they would rather lose the election than lose their own posts in those primaries with a progressive Democratic Party primary electorate. So, you know, you've got a problem. So you say, where do you get the information? Well, that's why we have the Rick Smith Show, for God's sakes. And that's why we have GregPalast.com. And by the way, here's a bonus for you. This week, if you go to GregPalast.com, you can download the audiobook for absolutely free of a bestseller called How Trump Stole 2020. Now, I wrote this before the 2020 election. It was a warning, not a prediction, but it was too close for comfort. That is, Trump only lost by 44,000 out of 170 million votes cast. And I got to tell you, if you go through, you'll see how that happened. You'll see how that happened. How could that happen? And that's what you have to know. And like, for example, in 2016, did Trump really beat Hillary? We know he lost the popular vote by 5 million. But you take Michigan, Rick. I went to Michigan. This is a story you didn't get. But it's in How Trump Stole 2020. Again, the audiobook is free at GregPalast.com this week. Okay, so in Michigan, if you remember, Trump won by only 10,000 votes, 10,704 to be exact, 10,000 votes in Michigan out of like 5-6 million. But there were, are you ready? 75,000 votes were never counted. 75,000 votes. And where?
I'm going to guess Detroit.
Oh, you win. Well, you don't get anything because anyone could have figured that one out. But except for Fox News. But yes, in Detroit. Now, what happened in Detroit? Now, it was covered in the black press and in the local papers. The city clerk in Detroit, the city was bankrupt. Detroit had no control of its own finances. It was controlled by Governor Rick Snyder, a Republican, and he put a city manager over Detroit, and they couldn't spend money without the Republican overlords approving it. The city clerk said, we've got these old scanning machines. Half of them are broken, and they certainly can't handle a heavy presidential election. And Snyder said, the GOP overlord said, oh, gee, that's too bad. You can't afford new machines. So they literally had to, and this is, again, not computers. This is literally what takes your paper ballot. This is why paper ballots are not going to save you. You take your paper ballot, you put it in the scanner, and it records your marks. But what happened was the machines broke, so 75,000 ballots just sat there. Now, Jill Stein of the Green Party raised $9 million for what it was wrongly called a recount. It wasn't a recount, Rick. It was the very first time those 75,000 ballots were being counted. And I went to Michigan. I saw this so-called recount. It was the count of ballots never before but counted. Now, it's Detroit. Whose votes were they? Hillary was kicking Donald Trump's behind in the uncounted votes in Detroit. And he went to court and stopped the count because he said, well, Jill Stein, you can count the ballots 300 times. She'll never win. Only Hillary Clinton can do the recount. And by the way, Hillary's lawyers are in the room. The judge said, what does Secretary Clinton want to do? And they said, well, we're here just to observe, which was, her campaign slogan. That's what happened. That's what happened.
So 30 seconds. What are we expecting going forward? Then any of this going to get fixed, or are we looking at another screw job in 24?
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm working with Black Voters Matter Fund. I'm working with ACLU. I'm working with all these organizations and trying to get the word out. And I'm doing the films, so we'll be re-releasing Vigilante. But get the book, How Trump Stole 2020, because then you'll know how he's going to steal 2024 unless we do something. And also The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which breaks it down for you. It's fun. You'll laugh. You'll cry. I hope you'll get into action. Stay tuned. Watch. Stick with Rick Smith.
Yeah, any legislation you're looking at that's being passed that we should be paying attention to?
Well, the right wing's on the march. The number one attack is on drop box voting. Despite what the BS from the mainstream press, there was not a record turnout in Georgia. There was a 1 million vote decline in the Senate runoffs because they cut early voting, which is what black people
Were able to do.
Black people vote. They cut it from 60 days to 7.
Now, I was there. I was on the ground in Georgia at the time. Greg, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend.
GregPalace.com. Free goodies, free truth.
Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1970. That was the first observation of Earth Day. Across the United States, millions of people took to the streets and parks to demonstrate for clean air, water, and a reduction in pollution and care for nature and the environment. The idea for Earth Day began with Democratic Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson. He was inspired to action when he witnessed the devastation caused by an oil spill in Santa Barbara, California. Senator Nelson knew for the day to be a success, he needed to reach across the aisle. He found an ally in Republican Congressman Pete McCloskey. He also found support from organized labor. The national coordinator for Earth Day was Dennis Hayes. Hayes explained, quote, "Without the UAW, the first Earth Day would have likely flopped. The UAW was by far the largest contributor to the first Earth Day, and its support went beyond the merely financial. It printed and mailed all of our material at its expense, even those critical of pollution-belching cars." 20 years later, Earth Day truly went global. In 1990, it was estimated that 200 million people from 141 countries participated in Earth Day actions. President Bill Clinton awarded Senator Nelson the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor granted to a U.S. civilian for his role in Earth Day. The role of the United Auto Workers in the first Earth Day demonstrates the importance that labor can play in the environmental movement.
All things and what they used to be lost, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
These days, America's top economic officials tend to speak in intelligible bureaucratic gobbledygook. But once upon a time, there was a plain-spoken White House economist, and he even had a sense of humor. He didn't last. Alfred Kahn was chastised by the White House in 1978, for speaking clearly and honestly about the looming possibility of a depression. Too blunt, use softer words. So Kahn started calling the downturn a looming banana. When banana industry lobbyists complained, he switched to kumquat. In that spirit, let me warn you about an unemployment taco that the autocratic Federal Reserve System is cooking up for working families. The Fed, as it's called by jolly bankers who run it, say it's imposing, quote, the restoration between supply and demand in the labor market. They soothingly add that there will very likely be some softening in the labor market conditions. You can almost hear them humming Rockabye Baby, but don't nod off. As Bryce Covert, the insightful economic digger and truth-teller, recently explained, there's nothing soft about the Fed's arbitrary policy. It means fewer raises and more people out of work, which means about 1.5 million people will lose their jobs. She documents that, historically, such a jolt of unemployment will probably, get ready for scary words, trigger a recession. Or a taco, if that makes you feel better. The mumbo-jumbo of economists aside, what we have here is the same old power play of moneyed elites putting the jobs and wages of working families on the chopping block to jack up the exorbitant profits of monopolistic corporations. When the Fed bankers say they're restoring balance, they mean restoring the power of corporate bosses to rule unilaterally over America's workaday majority. This is Jim Hightower saying, in plain language, this is blatant class war by the privileged few against the many.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
This is one of those days where I get angry at Democrats, and there's a lot to be angry at Democrats about, to be honest. But the fact that there isn't already the workings of a hearing on Clarence Thomas, I got to tell you, I have no idea how this isn't a bigger deal. the fact that we keep seeing more and more coming out. And some of my contacts in D.C. are telling me, get ready because there's more and it's worse. I've been saying this stuff for years because his wife was running around in every group, I'm sure, being paid quite handsomely. Now we find out, didn't report it because, well, you know, those forms are really complicated. The law can be really, really hard to understand. Yeah, can be really hard to understand. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day and maybe a Clarence thought. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio congressman and political analyst Bob Ney to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So what do you think of this? I mean, this is another one of those things where I'm mind blown that we haven't had some hearing already going exactly what did a Supreme Court justice get from a rich guy? How much? How many of these forms are screwed up? Or am I just being crazy?
Well, I, as you know, I can speak congressional speak. So on radio shows, I think it was yesterday, I did some translation.
Okay.
All right. And so what we had was the statements by Senator Durbin, and I qualified it by saying that Senator Durbin has done a good job. He knows what he's doing. He's somebody that's been around. I served with Dick Durbin. But I did some translation because as some of the Democrat side was pushing the Senate to do something, I'm talking also about state reps, state senators, members of the House, and advocacy groups, the statement by Senate Judiciary Committee was that they were going to hold a hearing talking about, you know, responsibilities of the Supreme Court, et cetera. And then Senator Durbin urged Justice Roberts to look into this, which is translating to he doesn't want the fight to require Thomas to come to the Senate. That's the translation. You know, somebody has said, let's not do this. I don't know who in the hierarchy. That's not an individual decision that Senate Judiciary would make. That's kind of a group decision. But the other article that came out about the LLC that didn't exist but yet paid $50,000 to $100,000 a year, that article, when that came out, I did say on some of the stations, this isn't the end. There is for sure more. Now, it comes a point in time, if they're not going to impeach, which we know they're not, all right? But it comes a point in time, somebody has to sit Clarence down, Clarence Thomas, just like they sat me down and said, why did you go on that trip? Because it was approved by the Ethics Committee. Who told you that? Then I told the Justice Department, the three people that told me that, right?
Right.
Not that they cared. They still were more obsessed with where I was going to eat for the next 30 months, you know. But federal prison. But somebody has to sit Clarence Thomas down, and he doesn't just make press statements to say, well, I was told. Well, who told you? When did they tell you? How did they tell you? Who were they? Did you check it? Somebody has to ask that. So if the Senate Judiciary Committee is not going to do it, then it falls upon who? Department of Justice,
yeah.
I would assume.
Well... So
now
this, could take another. This could be an interesting turn of another thing Merrick Garland's not going to do.
Well, it would be Department of Justice. Otherwise, people can scream all day long. They can say anything they want about him. And by the way, when people say, "Well, you know, his wife will urge him to stay even if he wants to leave." All right.
Yeah.
Jenny Thomas will urge him to stay. She'll be in for the long haul battle. So. It's like anything else. Unless somebody steps in that has the ability or the authority to ask questions, then it's Clarence Thomas. And, hey, let's put ourselves in his shoes, Rick. If nobody says, hey, Rick, hey, Bob, you know, why did you guys answer the way you did? Then you know what? We answer the way we do.
Yeah, see, I'm shocked
with
he said
accountability.
Anything. I'm shocked
right.
He said anything. If it were me, I wouldn't say a word because Clarence Thomas never asks any questions anyway. I didn't even know he could speak. This is one of those things that I think Roberts, and you're accurate in pointing this out. I think John Roberts has to be into this because this is his legacy as much as it is anything else. The Roberts Court is going to be looked back on as one of the most corrupt, as one of the most, you know, corporate bought, as one of the craziest, one of the ones that, this court, his legacy has got to mean something to him.
Right. And if he doesn't handle this, somebody should or somebody would handle it, I have to assume, because it's going to build. There's going to be more out there. I've just watched this, and I'm amazed that, you know, nobody has the guts to say, well, you know, we need to talk to you. Because when it happens to other people, when it happens to Democrats or Republicans who have a financial disclosure violation, I can name Republicans and Democrats tonight for you that have went through the Ethics Committee, right? Including myself, who asked to go, and then they didn't constitute. I couldn't, but I had colleagues that went there. And you can bet when they had a financial disclosure problem that looked really bad, it got sent to the Ethics Committee for the most part. Okay? So what's good for everybody else is good for anyone else, including federal judges. But the Supreme Court's because, oh, that's the Supreme Court. We can't ask a question.
Yeah.
Let's just do it internally.
It's crazy to me because, you know, this guy's supposed to be one of the smartest legal minds. If anyone should not get this wrong, it should be one of those nine people.
Right. They're Boyers.
Then the question becomes, you know, okay, it's Clarence Thomas now, but what about Alito? What about Roberts? What about the rest of them? Because look, they do the speaking tours. They do all of the conferences that the right wing has. They do all of that stuff. They're getting paid somewhere. Shouldn't we be having a conversation about that stuff?
Well, I would assume. Now, what will happen out of this, the Senate and probably eventually parts of the House, but there'll be a lot of pressure. They'll come up with some type of piece of legislation. I think there's two introduced already. Here's what you do. Here's what you're supposed to report. Here's the sunshine on the court. Of course, there'll be, you know, something that eventually makes a move through the two chambers.
Yeah.
But that doesn't solve the immediate problem of, you know, maybe a precedent-setting case. But let's throw it out there for conversation. Who has the ability and the right to question Clarence Thomas?
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's outrageous that we're in this situation. It's just angering, the fact that this stuff can happen and nobody, until this point, nobody bothered to pay attention. And lastly, you know, I realized, and this is probably the more angering part, I have the wrong friends. No one's taken me on a half a million dollar vacation or bought up my grandmother's house and fixed it up or any of that stuff. I got the wrong friends.
You haven't even went to a reception. You've been up on Capitol Hill and put celery and cookies in your pocket. You haven't even done that. You're pretty clean.
No, I'm not a big fan of celery, as you can tell. Not if there are cookies. It's a whole other story. I want to get your thoughts on this Marjorie train wreck moment today. I find it interesting and fun when Republicans basically silence her. Did you see what happened today?
No, what happened?
Well, there was a Homeland Security Committee hearing, and evidently she went after Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, and called him a liar. He said, "You are a liar." Right out.
She calls everybody. She calls the president a liar.
Yeah, but during the committee hearing, and her comments were taken down, and she lost the rest of her time, and it was the Republican chairman who did it.
Ooh. We had that happen with a congressman from Florida who made a vulgar statement about Bill Clinton. He was Republican, and we took his remarks down because he refused to retract and apologize. I did not know. I haven't read that story yet, but that's something when they move to do that.
Yeah, no. So what's the difference between striking the comments from the record and taking them down?
Okay. What happens is, if you're making a statement in the committee or particularly the floor of the House, and you make a statement that is a reference, which, by the way, this is such a silly rule, but you can't even say, if you're a member of the House, you can't even say the Senate. Like, you know, what they do in the Senate is wrong. You have to say the other body. You're not even allowed technically to say the Senate, all right?
Okay.
It's just so dumb. But anyway, you could be taken down for that. And they're costing you to not refer to the other body. They'll tap the gavel. Well, when you make a comment, let's say a vulgar comment, which was made by Clinton, by a member from Florida, Micah. Well, then somebody stood up from the Democrat side and said, I take his words down. When that motion is made, they either have the choice to apologize, retract. If they don't do that, then they have a vote on taking their words down.
Right.
If, in fact, the majority say we're taking his or her words down, they're banned from speaking for a period of time.
And that's what happened today, because Benny Thompson was the guy who...
So she refused then.
Yeah, she did.
Yes, so they took her words down because she refused. Now, they give you an opportunity to say, okay, I still believe it, but it's out of order. I understand that. Or you could say, I didn't really mean that particularly that way. You know, you could say all kinds of things. And then they'll strike it from the record, which they do anyway. But if you don't show either, you know, retraction or remorse for it, Rick, then they vote to take your words down. And if the majority vote, then you're forbidden for speaking for a period of time.
And can that be the rest of the term?
Well, I was just, you know, there's probably secretly Republicans that would like to ban her for at least maybe a decade. And even if she leaves in 8 years, they still want to go a decade. Maybe.
Oh, that.
I mean, eventually everybody has their day. And, you know, look, they won't say this public. Members are getting tired of her, you know, because, you know, a lot of Republicans, today a Republican was talking about her, and a lot of Republicans, you know, they're not necessarily from her district. They don't necessarily like her, you know.
Yeah,
she's way, way, way out
She's off on the edge there.
Sure.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst. I want to get your thoughts on the zip tie guy. Evidently, mom and the zip tie guy were guilty on all charges today.
Right. Well, which now, what was his sentence possibilities? He's from Nashville.
Right. He was found guilty of trespassing. That was part of it.
But he had the zip ties, which was one of the scarier things.
Right. A disorderly conduct, obstruction, conspiracy, unauthorized entry, and the additional charge for carrying a dangerous weapon on Capitol grounds because he had a taser.
Right. Right. Now, I don't know what the potential sentence is for that. I haven't read yet.
Didn't say, but I found it interesting. He went with his mother. I don't know, man.
Well,
I don't know. He
was a good kid, and he never got to go to the Capitol, and mommy said he was sightseeing. You know? Moms defend kids in court, you know?
Yeah.
I remember when they asked Jeffrey Dahmer's grandfather, what do you think of that? And he said, well, when you're 90-some, you've seen it all.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mom's defending the zip ties. He was just going to the grocery store for her, and he was going to use the zip ties to bring bags home for her.
Yeah, clothing, fruit bags. I got it.
Right, exactly.
I got it.
I hope he gets a long sentence.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I see Alan Weiselberg got out today. Spent 108 days in Rikers Island.
Was it 108?
That's what it says.
Huh.
Two-thirds of his five-month sentence, he spent 108 days in Rikers Island beginning in January. After appearing as the star witness in the corporate tax fraud trial.
Right. Now, he went... Now, help me with this. Did he go... Was he... No, he was state, not federal.
He was state.
Okay. Well, in the federal system, you must serve 85% of your time. You must. Now, during COVID, they let people out, but you have to spend 85% of your time there. I forgot he's in the state system.
Yeah, and finally, I wanted to get your thoughts on the back and forth today over the debt ceiling. The president came out and said he's not going to go for any of the, what was it, kookery or nonsense? What word did he use? Wacko notions. He's not going to go along with the wacko notions from McCarthy, which we find out that they want to cut the VA budget by 22%. That's insane.
Right. And they unveiled their debt limit bill, and it lifts the borrowing cap for 1 year. So that proposal would affect, of course, Medicaid and Medicare also, which they've been trying to claim that they're not going to, you know, particularly do that.
So do we? Is this the time when we default? Because it looks like Biden's dug in. It doesn't look like he's going to, at this point, willing to give anything. But because I think McCarthy's demands are just completely ludicrous. $4.5 trillion from the discretionary budget, which, you know, is what, you know, 16-17% of our overall spending. I think they're dug in.
Well, they've done some footwork on this, McCarthy has, and I'll tell you why. You don't just throw something like this out there without doing the background work. Most of the Republicans, when this was unveiled, and this was a 230-page debt ceiling bill, normally, Rick, they can be a lot, you know, less pages than that. Lawmakers haven't read it, but they're signaling that they're going to vote for it. Because, you know, McCarthy needs to get 218 votes for the debt ceiling increase.
Right.
So he can't have people, you know, jumping around on this. So the statement I think that Representative Good made of Virginia, and he's a member of the right wing, you know, Freedom Caucus, and he said something that, you know, with what my understanding is of what's in there, frankly, we got there what we asked for. That was a pretty bold statement, you know, pretty cerebral statement, I think. Then a couple other members of the Freedom Caucus said, well, we're not there yet. But they called it a very meaningful and robust plan. So when you start to look at these quotes, I have to assume McCarthy is going to, you know, push to hold to this, and he's got the votes to do it. Now, if that starts to splinter, because if I were President Biden, I would hold to my position. I would get advocacy groups like AARP, et cetera, to go completely crazy in marginal seats where Republicans are, and then guess what? What happens if five people start to say, I don't know about this?
Yeah, no, look, the VA, this VA news is huge, because I thought there was going to be a carve-out for the VA, and they wouldn't be part of this. 22% cut is enormous.
Yes, of course.
And it's stupid. I mean, these are the people who wrap themselves in the flag and, you know, find a soldier to take a picture with, and now you're telling them, sorry, we're going to make the VA waits much longer. We're going to basically gut it from within. That is...
Well, here's the Republicans' big mistake. They shouldn't even be defining this right now, VA or this or that. What the Republicans should have done is what we did when Bush was president, which was to pass a debt ceiling bill. They can pass a temporary bill. The real work that the Republicans could do and actually probably gain some footage a bit is if they do the regular budget process of the bills, the 13 bills they've talked about, or now they're calling them 11 bills. You don't do this in the debt ceiling process, because the debt ceiling is talking about what you already spent.
Exactly.
They already voted for this.
No, it's crazy. Last question. Are we heading for default, do you think?
Well, I think we're going to come close to default, yes.
Do you think?
Now, at some point in time, Yellen can only move numbers so much,
right,
where she has to say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And then it's push comes to shove. Now, McCarthy is in a horrible bind as speaker, because on one hand, he, you know, can have a mutiny. Remember, one member can say, oh, time to vote you out. On the other hand, if the government defaults right now during, you know, this inflation and gasoline and food and on and on and on, when people are really trying to, you know, keep their lives together, if the government defaults, let me tell you, it's going to be pretty ugly. And I think that the Republicans will take the brunt of it.
Do you think it'll be on them, Or are they playing that they think it's going to fall on Biden because they can blame Biden for anything at this point?
Well, some of it will fall on Biden. It's just natural.
Yeah.
It's like gasoline. I have friends that, well, you can't blame Biden for the gas increase. I said, listen, presidents get blamed when it goes up. They get credit when it goes down.
Exactly.
Yeah, fact of life. Biden will get, as president, will get a bit of a hit. But I will argue Republicans will get more of a hit, and I'll tell you why. They just won't control themselves. They will be yapping about the speaker. Some of them will start to attack him. He didn't have good leadership. Once you rot inside, you know, the apple doesn't have to be picked. It can fall right in your hand. And so that's what I think the Republicans will suffer from, being having a lack of togetherness on this issue.
Now, we will
more
see
damage
as this,
to them than the president.
We will see as this continues, because I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Nope.
But Bob, as always, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Look, at the end of the day, I think he's right. I think they're going to do everything that they've wished and dreamed and fantasized about. And that's screwing you and me over. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back to wrap things up.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at therickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, therickSmithShow.com. Real quick, want to get to an email from John from Wisconsin. He says, so there is another way to steal elections. He says, in Wisconsin, the gerrymandering is so egregious that the Republicans have a just short of two-thirds majority from well under 50% of the vote. Mathematically, that means that every Republican vote counted for a little over 1.35 Democratic votes. Or as George Orwell wrote, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. Apparently, John writes, elephants are more equal than donkeys. And look, this is how this game has all been played. The gerrymandering across this country. On a certain level, you do have to give Republicans credit for playing the long game, for understanding the rules of the game and rigging it in their favor on some level. And you have to blame Democrats for not knowing that they were getting screwed over. You know, the organizing that didn't happen around all of these things. And look, you know, Wisconsin's a special place for me, because back in 2011, you know, February of 11, I was in the Capitol when the uprising happened. I was there when the Act 10 stuff was going on. You know, we slept on the floor of the Capitol while all that craziness was happening. And I came back to Pennsylvania, and I was, you know, talking with a prominent labor leader in this state and saying, look, all of the stuff that was the groundwork that was done in Wisconsin, all of the front groups and the money that's gone into you know, flipping these seats and doing these elections, it's coming this way. They are building the playbook. And it's not because I'm clairvoyant or I'm particularly bright. It's because I paid attention to what people were saying on the ground there, that this was all, it was a lot of Koch money. It was a lot of that Diane Hendricks money. It was a lot of big moneyed interests going, hey, how can we steal this state and undo all of the progressive era while we're at it? And it did. All of the bad ideas that came out of Wisconsin did come across the country, and more. You know, again, I go back to 2000. You know, Greg Palast, you know, coined it right, voting while black. Thousands of people kicked off the rolls because they might be felons. 2004, you had caging, where they would send something to your house, and if it didn't get returned, it would go back to the post office, and they never forwarded it. So you didn't know that you were thrown off the voting rolls. You went to vote, and oh, sorry. And 2004, who could forget, you know, J. Kenneth Blackwell and his 80-pound paper trying to throw voter registrations out. Every gimmick, every scheme, every way that Republicans can block people from voting, they're going to do. Here in my state of Pennsylvania, 2012, the Speaker of the House, Mike Terzai, says, "We did voter ID, done, so Governor Romney can win the state of Pennsylvania." They aren't shy about it. They're telling us that they're cheating. When do we believe them? I want to hear your thoughts. And John, appreciate the email. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media app.
News.